You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the new news, Todd Alba takes over from noon to 2 p.m. Today, Todd's going to recap the joint address to Congress last night, joined by Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, and also Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Should be a really interesting show. Mm-hmm. Join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m., right after the 12 o'clock news. He joins us every month to talk all things agriculture. Delighted to welcome back the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is joining us. Good morning, Darren. Thanks for making time for us. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I'm doing well. Just getting blown away in the wind here in western Wisconsin.
Did you guys get a lot of snow?
We've got probably an inch and a half on the ground right now, but they're talking maybe up to 8 inches here today. So.
Oh, you are so lucky. Is that a good thing, though? Just to veer off a little bit, Darren, because we hear so much about drought and dry conditions, is this welcome moisture or is this just making it worse?
No, this is really welcome moisture because it's at a time of year where we can't do anything in the fields anyway. So right. Anytime you get moisture on top, it sinks down in and gives you that subsoil moisture that you really need in the middle of summer when it gets hot and could get dry too. So, and the snow we're getting is a wet snow. It's not a dry snow.
Right.
So that adds to that moisture.
Well, that's good. That's good news. So much to cover. There's been a lot going on lately. I want to start off, Darren, by talking about these grant freezes that we have talked about with a couple of other people. And from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these programs that were offered, these grants that were offered under the Biden administration, required farmers in some instances to invest in things, and then they were going to be compensated, or the cost of this investment would be subsidized by these grants from the federal government. Is that accurate?
Yep, that's pretty accurate. Most of them you have to prove the work before you can receive the funds. There are some that you can request the funds ahead of time to cover like equipment purchases, construction issues, things like that. But the majority of the grants, whether it's REAP grants or grants to do transportation projects, EQIP grants are to do like stream bank improvements, fence line improvements, different things like that in the farm. The last two there, you have to do the project first and then get reimbursed. And everything's signed under contract, so there's contract between the landowner and the most time the county NRCS or FSA office, Farm Service Agency office, NRCS's Natural Resource Conservation Service. So there is signed contracts for all of these situations that we're seeing out here.
And a lot of these farmers, again, have already invested this money, and now these grants are frozen. So what does that mean for Wisconsin farmers?
Well, you know, it's scary, really, especially when you're looking at some of the projects, and I know of two locally here. A neighbor that has a 600 sheep milking facilities, and then they have a creamery there too, and have won many awards over the years that this place has been operating. They put in a solar array last year, and the REAP grant that they're supposed to be getting is $70,000, and around the 30th of January or so, they received that notice saying that grant is in the freeze mode right now. So looking at $70,000, that's just not small change. And for any producer, really, he's going to have to go to the bank and refinance in order to keep that project moving. It is up and running right now, but there's the installers, the solar panel providers, they all need to be paid too. So, you know, at one point, are they going to say, you know, we need our money, and then it's up to the farmer to find it and get it?
Well, and we've talked with you before, Darren, about the fact that most farmers' money is tied up either in their equipment or the land or seed or all of those things. It's not like most of us don't have $70,000 just laying around in cash that we can easily access. And I think that's even worse for farmers.
Yeah, yeah. The true saying about the farm situation is we're always asset rich and cash poor.
Yeah.
So hardly ever have any cash laying around. But, you know, certainly if you have a good banker and an honest relationship there, most of the time you will get an operating loan or the dollars you need to keep things going. But, you know, this is a different situation where you have a bigger project that you were trying to invest in your future. And so operating loans don't necessarily fit into that category, and which means it's probably going to need to be refinanced. And then you put yourself in a capital risk right away with them extra dollars having to go to a project that you were of the understanding that you were going to get some assistance from the federal government.
When it comes, Darren, to the contract that you make with the government on these sorts of projects, is there any action to be taken from the farmer? Can they say, look, we signed a contract. You said you were going to do this. I have equipment that's now working. You owe me the money. Is it something that can be taken to court? Or once they get that letter says frozen, that's the end of the discussion until they get an update?
Yeah, you know, at this point, there is a few different groups, national groups, that are looking at those possibilities. So if a farmer or a local businessman is in that situation, there's possibilities that they can join those actions versus going out there on your own. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, if you're that little dairy farmer or sheep farmer or grain farmer looking to collect, it's going to take a lot of money out of your back pocket to get it. So, you know, my suggestion would be to make sure you're aware of these national groups that have the dollars and the attorneys to help in that process. And the biggest thing is make sure that you're fulfilling your side of the contract. Mm-hmm. So that way Uncle Sam can't come back and say, well, you didn't fulfill it. Yep. So you broke the contract.
Yep. If you're just joining us, Darren Von Ruden is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And we're talking about these grants that have been frozen now under the Trump administration for work that a lot of farmers have already invested in. And now they're just kind of in limbo. What are you hearing from your members, Darren?
Well, a lot of worries right now. You know, uncertainty is never a good thing. And certainly with this, you know, when you're looking at having to go to your banker and make that ask, you know, at that point in time that it comes, you know, it just adds another layer of stress besides what we're already under. And certainly with the president's actions in the last 36 hours or so here, too, with the tariff wars going now, that's just another level of uncertainty that farmers are facing.
Well, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday when those tariffs were announced. And I've seen some people say, well, so what? So, you know, short-term pain, you know, China's going to fill in the void or Brazil's going to fill in the void for the soybeans, but they're going to come back. That's not what happened the first time around under the Trump administration. The market share that our farmers lost during that go-around have not come back.
Yeah, they haven't, and there isn't, you know, that big of a market anywhere in the world. So once you lose a portion of that huge market, you're never going to get that back. Brazil had been building their infrastructure to get to that point where if something like this ever happened, they were ready to jump in. You know, the only thing that could possibly help us to get that, and I don't wish this upon any farmer anywhere in the world, is, you know, droughts or, you know, other natural disasters that would destroy part of the crop or a good chunk of the crop. Then certainly they would have to come back to the U.S. If necessary. But with the way, you know, crop production has been going around the world, everybody's becoming more independent and not necessarily needing a foreign market to supply their own needs.
I just find it very, I don't know what the word is, but the fact that Brazil said we should build up our efforts and build up our abilities because America is unstable in what they're producing, like this situation. So if we can take the market share, we can do it. Let's invest now in our farming and our ability to export, because if America has another one of these again, we can jump in. And they did.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, just, you know, it's funny how short our history memory is.
Because, no doubt. You know,
five short years ago when we seen that same situation, or six, I guess now. But, you know, the federal government forked out over $2 billion to subsidies to crop farmers during that process. And, you know, that was market share that farmers lost, and we still haven't regained it. Farmers had invested billions of dollars, I shouldn't say billions, millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars into programs to work with our overseas partners to actually build that trust and relationship through checkoff dollars. And those checkoff dollars basically got thrown away in that trade war because we lost all of those partners in other countries.
I've seen some lawmakers comment that, why are we exporting our goods? We should be feeding our own people. That seems to me to display a certain amount of ignorance about how markets work.
Yeah, just a little. You know, and it's funny too, because they, you know, think that food is free sometimes, but yet they don't want to, they don't want to supply those most needy people in this country with a safe, adequate food supply neither. And, you know, it's all about let's making sure that the rich get richer. And they do that on the backs of not only the farmers, but the consumers too.
Absolutely.
Is there any concern, Darren? We spoke to a gentleman who has a channel on YouTube called The Back 40. We talked to Will a couple of weeks ago about his concern that the goal is to see all farms in the country eventually go to big corporations and just corporatize all of our farms. Do you hear much about that?
That's been a huge concern of our organization for decades already, you know, and we're certainly getting a lot closer to that in dairy. Poultry is already pretty much there. Pork production's there. Crops are certainly heading that way when you're looking at land prices around the country are 2 to 3 times higher than what they were 5-6 years ago. And only the largest investors can afford to pay that kind of money for the land. So, you know, we're concentrating that control of our natural resources into, you know, fewer and fewer hands. And at some point when it becomes just one or two, this country is going to be in a world of hurt.
Darren Von Ruden is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, if you have a guest or some issue going on in your community that you would like to get spotlighted, send us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. .us. And if you have a complaint, we make sure that Calvin sees it and he'll take care of it right away.
Send it to darren.von.ruden at hotmail.com.
Darren will address it for us. Yes. Darren Von Ruden is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And we are talking about the grants that were offered under the Biden administration. Now that money has been frozen, even though the money's already been shelled out on the front end. That's what we were talking about before we got to the break. I do want to talk, Darren, about something that it seems like, oh my God, both sides agree on, is this right to repair bill. So this, this is where a farmer would be allowed to fix his own equipment rather than downloading some app for several thousand dollars or taking it to the dealership only to fix it. This would give farmers more freedom to fix their own stuff.
Yep. It's, you know, the big issue is that hardware that we need, which is most likely an app to figure out what's going on within the tractor because of the electrification of tractors. And that means the components to diagnose all the issues around it. Most tractors are still diesel fuel or gas. There are electric tractors that are coming online, but certainly not right now. But the average farmer today can't fix their equipment like they could 10, 15 years ago. And the bigger issue there too is that those local mechanics that are not working for the dealership because they want to be that self-independent provider of a service, it costs too much for them to buy this hardware or that app in order to fix the newer tractors that could come into their shop. And so we're really seeing, you know, those providers are being harmed by the current system of, you know, monopoly control is probably the best way to put it, because they want to be able to control where those pieces of equipment are fixed, and they want to be able to charge you what they can. You know, locally here, we've got a couple of different mechanics that work on John Deere tractors, charging $70 or $75 an hour, and the local John Deere shops in their operations are charging $140 an hour. So, you know, as a farmer that's cash strapped, as we were talking earlier, is most likely going to want to go to that smaller independent mechanic and get the tractor fixed. But in reality, that local mechanic is probably going to have to start charging that $130, $140 an hour to cover his costs that it takes to get that app or hardware to diagnose what's going on within that tractor.
Well, and we had talked to Brad Paff about this a couple of weeks ago, too, and he pointed out, you know, if your tractor breaks down and you're in the middle of the field harvesting something, it's not like someone's right down the road who can come right out there and get out there and fix it right away. You could be waiting for days or a week.
Yeah, and some of that hardware that needs to be replaced once they figure out what's going on with the tractor could be 2 to 3 weeks out because of the issue of supply chain issues. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, and most dealerships don't have 3, 4, 5 tractors just sitting on the lot that they're ready to let go out to replace that one while it's being fixed. So, you know, and you look at coming up here in 6 weeks, we're going to be in the middle of planting season. And when you're halfway done and that main tractor breaks down, you're really dependent on that to be fixed in a short time frame versus long time frame. And, you know, that supply chain issue certainly was bad in 2020 because of COVID, but we're still seeing that effect today on a lot of equipment that farmers need in a short time frame when it's planting and harvest season.
I truly just, I do not think people can grasp how expensive it is to farm in modern America. It's just, I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars are being spent to make sure that we have food. And when something like that happens, and the idea of like your tractor being in the field and then saying, well, this part has to be ordered from Europe, maybe a month, then what are you to do? I mean, it's ridiculous. And my only question is, or not a question, and this is for everybody, really. It's like we said, it's bipartisan. We love bipartisan, but the problem is bipartisan doesn't mean passed. It means there could be one person saying, well,
I don't like it,
so we're not going to do it. Sorry.
Are you hopeful that this will get passed, Darren?
Well, we're hopeful. There's two states for sure that I know of that have passed similar language, Colorado and Minnesota, Montana, Michigan, and a few others that have went through the process. It just didn't get passed in the first go around, but they're going back at it again. There's also a national lawsuit against John Deere filed by the bunch of attorney generals around the country to make this happen too, to allow those independent mechanics and independent farmers the ability to fix that equipment that comes into their shops or that they own.
We've only got about 2 minutes left, Darren. Real briefly, we talked again about the hollowing out has begun at NOAA. Now, the National Oceanic Administration, which oversees the National Weather Service, accurate weather information is kind of important to farmers, isn't it?
It is, you know, because we can look at the weather map one day and decide, can we work up a bunch of fields and get ready to plant tomorrow? Or do we have to wait 2-3 days? You know, if there's a streak of rain that's coming through, it means that you're going to have to wait. And similar in the middle of summer when you're trying to make good high quality hay, you don't want to cut it and then have a week of rain on it.
Right.
So, you know, there's timing issues there. But then, you know, talking with some of our friends on the coast, looking at the fishermen going out into the oceans, they depend on that system a lot more than even the farmers here in the Midwest, because if a big storm is coming, they need to know about it. And tides change, you know, in minutes versus hours.
Yep.
So they need those warnings a lot faster.
Darren Von Rudin is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He joins us once a month. Thank you so very much, Darren. It's always really a great segment, and we learn so much. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Jane, and thank you, Greg. And Calvin, it's good seeing you again.
Take care. We'll see you next month. News coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up. A little audio sorbet. We're talking movies. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caltini on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewer spring training continues. The Crew taking on the A's. That's going to happen tomorrow night, 7:05. So mark it on your calendar. Catch the game on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates. That includes WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the A's this Thursday night, tomorrow night at 7:05 p.m. Coming up to wrap up the show, as always, this shouldn't be a thing. Today, the Flipper Flips Out edition. There will be a video element as well in the show notes after the show is over. And if you ever miss an episode and you would like to go back and catch it, you can certainly subscribe to us as a podcast.
Yeah.
You can also go to our website at civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air. There's an archive of about 100 past shows divided into 2-hour segments.
Yes.
And you can even download Tisbet.
Exactly.
As an individual segment, if you like.
Do you have an extra 3 minutes and 54 seconds of your day that you just need to fill up with some content?
Something fun.
This shouldn't be a thing as a podcast in your device.
We wanted to talk, as we always do, for the last half hour of the program. We try to lighten things up a little bit because I really do think it's important for our health and our mental health.
Yeah. What do we call that?
We call it audio sorbet. So here's the question for you today. Oscars were handed out Sunday night.
Yep.
Adrian Brody is still talking.
Oh, Bert!
One of the longest accepted speeches in history.
The longest.
The longest?
5 minutes and 40 seconds.
And it was completely humble and, yeah, none of that. It was like a really... Anyway, so the Oscars were handed out Sunday night, and we started talking about movies before we got on the air.
Yeah.
And it led us to this question. What is the movie that everybody loves but you?
Yeah. Does nothing for you.
You just don't get it. You don't like it. It doesn't, you don't, never don't laugh. What is the movie that everybody else loves but you? There's no wrong answers.
Nope. There's no judgment.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You want to share yours?
I will start.
All right.
I will start.
Greg can start.
This will be all the men over 35 or so will be gunning for me.
Outraged?
Yes. I do not enjoy the film Caddyshack.
With Chevy Chase?
With Chevy Chase, with Ted Knight, Rodney Dangerfield, bunch of other people.
Was that from the late 70s?
Early 80s. It was the second National Lampoon movie, or made by the National Lampoon people. Here's the thing is, I watched it far past the age you're supposed to see for the first time. I feel like most, I'll get general, and don't accuse me of being a sexist here. Most dudes see Caddyshack between the ages of maybe 10 and 12.
Okay.
Right when you're being a boy.
Well, and scatological things make you laugh,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I get that.
I saw it later in life. I saw it in my 30s, my late 30s. And I was like, this movie's dumb. This movie is so dumb. And like, it's like one of those movies where men constantly quote it, and posters in their garages are man caves. And I just sit there going, it's a movie about golf.
Essentially.
And class warfare, because one person told me.
Yes, moderately about class warfare. We do have a clip from the classic Caddyshack. Should Greg lose his man card over this? Calvin, let's play this clip from Caddyshack, please.
Can I ask you something?
Sure thing. Shoot, Timmy.
Danny.
Danny. You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. Danny, this isn't Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia, is it?
Nah.
I didn't think so. Stop thinking. Let things happen and be the ball.
Be the ball.
Be the ball. No, 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 no.
That's
no,
one
no,
of the
no,
best
no.
lines in the movie, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that is a, and also there's a time when Chevy Chase was really funny. Like, he is one of the best dry wit American comedians to do it. But the movie just overall is like,
it's gag after gag,
it's
after,
gag after gag,
right?
It's just, ugh, no, thank you.
What is the movie that everybody else loves but you? 855-752-4842. Angie from Monroe is on the line. Good morning, Angie. Thanks for joining us. What is your film that everybody else loves and you're like, yeah, no?
Star Wars.
No judgment. Sorry.
I've never seen a single Star Wars. I have zero interest. Anything like that. None. Zip. Sorry.
I'm
so sorry.
Not even curious.
You have to. There's a lot of Star Wars fans like myself who say the following. I get it.
Harrison Ford's really adorable in that movie, Angie.
I couldn't even tell you who's in it.
Not curious.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry. Well,
that's all right.
Hey, don't apologize.
No, that is perfectly fine. No judgment zone. I slipped. I apologize.
Nobody who's calling or texting or live stream commenting, do not apologize for your opinions on this. This is no judgment. We all have them. We have the texts have started flowing in.
Excellent.
Someone listening on WMDX.
Thanks, Angie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Angie. As well as Steve from Milwaukee, both say Napoleon Dynamite.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what?
Thank you.
Okay, you know what? We said no judgment.
I've tried.
You haven't tried
to watch that movie.
It is a beautiful, simple, innocent film.
I wanted to stick needles in my eyes in the first 15 minutes.
I don't think that's true at all, but you just could have just turned it off. That's fine. it's the only one I'll go to bat for, honestly.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Because Napoleon Dynamite, I saw it the first time and I hated it. And then my friend kind of like sat me down and said, here's the backstory of the film. And I saw it from a different light. And I love the film. I think it's a beautiful, fun. They don't make movies like that because it's so innocent and it's humor. There's no double entendres. There's no like excessive violence, stupid pratfalls and comedy. Well, there's pratfalls. There's physical comedy. But it's made by a kid who loves movies. And it shows. And I feel it. And I love it.
You can love
there
it.
You, go.
You can
you go.
Love it. What is the movie everybody else loves but you hate?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Todd from DePere. Listening in Green Bay on WGBW, I have two, Pulp Fiction and Shawshank Redemption. Can't get into either. That is art that I don't understand. That's fine.
I understand Pulp Fiction. I watched it once, and I'm like, I'm good for that.
I can't do Pulp Fiction. Love Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, love that film. That's
but again, great. There's no wrong answer. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. The movie that everybody else loves, and you're like, no.
I don't know. There's so many the one they just talked about, Pulp Fiction, that definitely, I never got that one. And then there's all the Chevy Chase where they do their trip movies. Those are just oh my God. And then what was the other one? Oh, Wayne's World. I'm like, oh my God, really? Why did
they really, Cindy? We just said a movie.
Cindy, get it out. Get it all out, girl. It's a cleansing segment
well,
for
I
you.
Well, I could probably go for another 10 minutes. But I'll
I have no doubt.
Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate it. The movie that everybody else loves and you hate. Julie from Wausau, the dance number at the beginning of La La Land was good, but it was all downhill from there. I hated it.
I didn't know that movie was a musical, and me, my wife, my brother and sisters-in-law, we all went to go see a movie, and we're like, let's go see La La Land, even though I really wanted to see a different movie, and I got big-footed on it. The moment it started, the crane on the camera started moving, I'm like, this is a musical.
Did you feel like you'd been tricked?
I was so angry. I'm like, oh, cool. Don't get me wrong. Love Ryan Gosling, but a white man saves jazz.
Yeah, right. And he didn't sing all that well.
No.
855-752-4842, a movie that everybody else loves, and you're like, I don't get right. it. Calvin, what is your film?
So mine is The Goonies. It's a movie that my mom and her brothers all love, and I just could never sit through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you think you were too old?
I think maybe I was too old, and I think I also was in a phase of that I didn't like old movies at that time.
Okay.
But at the same time, then I have to take that back a little bit, because Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of my favorite movies ever.
But, interesting.
I know. But I don't know. And I know it came out later and it's a different premise sort of, but I think Stand By Me is a lot better movie than The Goonies.
I would agree with you.
Well, those are totally
different. They're totally different
things.
I know.
One's dramatic and one's a comedy, yeah. But they're both premises of coming of age and looking for something.
No judgment. Fair point. What is the movie everybody else loves but you hate or you just don't get it? 855-752-4842. Stephanie from Madison joining us on the line. Good morning, Stephanie. What is your movie?
Well, good morning. You know, first, I just want to say, in defense of Caddyshack, it is rated R, so I sure hope 11 and 12-year-olds aren't watching it.
Fair point.
But the movie that I really, really don't get, and everybody loved it. Now, I saw it later, and, you know, so maybe that's what it was. Forrest Gump. I just
interesting.
Don't get it. Never did.
You are not alone, Stephanie. I did not love that movie. The running thing. I'm going to go run for a year.
If you want to get really, like, weirded out, like, it's based on a book, and the book and the movie are nothing alike. And in the book, Forrest Gump is all horrible person.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's like a drunk. He's terrible.
Interesting.
Look up all the movies where Tom Hanks either plays a real person or a person from a book. They almost always change it so much because Tom Hanks is Tom
Hanks.
He's
so likable.
Look up the differences between Captain Phillips' real life and the movie. It'll make you upset.
Interesting. Thanks a lot, Stephanie. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. A movie everybody else loves and you just... It just doesn't grab you. Carla from Eagle River on the text line listening on WXCO. I couldn't stand Everything Everywhere All at Once. I didn't get it. I watched it, Carla. I liked maybe the first half hour.
I really liked that movie.
And then I was the whole hot dog fingers. And then the end, I was so lost. I was so lost.
Then maybe it's about seeing it again to like, because sometimes you see it a second time, things open up. But I get that too. Brian texts in, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. OMG, it's like a nightmare of a vacation. That's a very uncomfortable movie to watch.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yes, I understand that. I wouldn't say I dislike it, but it's not a movie I go to, whereas other people are like, I love that movie. And I love John Candy.
Yeah. So many texts. We're trying to get them all. Texter on WAUK. I had a shirt in high school. This is from Robin Green Bay on WGBW. I had a shirt in high school that said, the boat sank, get over it.
Dang.
Never watched the movie. I assume Titanic.
Yes.
And
yes,
still refused to watch it. Robin Green Bay. Texter on WAUK. Top Gun Maverick. I was so bored with most of it. I went to the theater with my two sons. One of them fell asleep and the other one loved it.
Jane, what about you real quick?
Calvin, just play the clip first. Everyone will know what this movie is after you hear this clip.
I love you. You complete me.
Ugh.
And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah, please.
You had me at hello.
Oh, kill me now. Just kill me. I hated that movie. Jerry Maguire.
No, we got it, Jade.
Hated that movie with a hot heat. I just don't like it.
Cesar and Madison on MDX says, mine is Star Trek. Everybody I know hates me for it. You know,
we don't hate you.
I don't hate you.
We don't hate you.
Jane probably hates it.
No. Gary in Oregon listening in Madison. Barbie, tried to watch it twice. Oh, I lasted 5 minutes.
Love that movie. Love that movie.
Kara from Sun Prairie. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I thought The Matrix was lame. I remember the dialogue being really dumb, and I felt like a third grader could have done a better job. That's Kara from Sun Prairie.
And Sue from Franklin says, don't hate me, but It's a Wonderful Life. I get that.
No judgments.
No judgment, and I get it. It's just one of those movies that feels forced upon you by other people who love it, like The Wizard of Oz. You're like, I don't need to see this.
Thank you, everyone, for participating. We're out of time. We can still get so many texts coming. We're out of time. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Flipper Flipping Out Edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're hugging with your baby, he'll ask for an amenity. Oh, Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, he'll ask for an amenity.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, jam-packed show, Jim Santel, who is our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings, across the network from 9 to 11 to talk all things legal. We are not lawyers, but we're lawyer adjacent.
And this is the beginning of a weekly segment.
Yes.
Every Thursday.
And if you have a question for Jim, please send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Jim Santel joining us tomorrow at 10:30 in the 11 o'clock hour. Did you know dogs can get Alzheimer's?
Nope.
Dogs apparently can get Alzheimer's. We're going to talk to Dr. Calico Schmidt. She is a veterinarian with UW-Madison Vet Medicine.
Yeah.
And I there are some people love their pets, justifiably so. And I just think it's important that there's potential for bird flu now infecting our cats and things like that. But we're going to talk about dogs and Alzheimer's tomorrow. She's a puppy. She'll be fine. J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So join us tomorrow morning for Matt Nair on Air starting at 10 a.m. Right now, 11:53. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today, it's from the Associated Press, Charlotte Graham McClay with the byline. The headline reads, "One moment, calm waters. The next, a 900-pound dolphin landed on their boat." In Wellington, New Zealand, a fishing trip turned berserk for three men when a dolphin weighing more than 900 pounds appeared to fall out of the sky before crash landing in their small boat. Dean Harrison and two friends were in this. It's only 16 feet long. It's not a great big boat.
I'm surprised it didn't destroy the boat.
Well, just wait.
Okay.
They were fishing off of the far north coast of New Zealand's Northern Island while dolphins are frolicking around them. They saw a shadow across the sun and then heard a crash, and then chaos broke out. This dolphin decided to jump on board and say hello. 1 minute, everything was fine. And then, like lightning striking, there is a huge dolphin in our boat thrashing around, breaking everything. The dolphin broke every single fishing rod we had in the boat, severely damaged the bow as the three guys are hanging on. One man suffered minor injuries to his arm. All three are fine. The dolphin is fine. The guys, it like, well, now we have this 900-pound dolphin in our boat. What are we going to do with it? They alerted New Zealand's conservation agency, got directed to a boat dock about an hour away where there were people waiting to help this dolphin. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, and there is a video and we'll include this in the show notes. In the meantime, they're spraying the dolphin. They've got towels over him so he doesn't get sunburned. And so I know. And so it stays moist and things like that. He's fine.
This is the second water creature-related thing that gets video, too. The last one was someone just get, I think Calvin.
Oh, it was the whale.
Mouthed by a whale that spat out.
He got gummed by the whale.
And this one, the dolphin's like, are you daring? Are you fishing?
The people who were waiting for them to get there, once this happened, again, it was an hour away, awaiting this dolphin, they named him Tohu, which means a sign in Maori, the Maori language. Mm-hmm. The dolphin got to swim away. We all got to walk away. And now we have a story to tell. It's a good ending in a situation that could have been very different. And now he has named his boat Tohu after the dolphin that they helped save.
I love this story.
Isn't that nice? And again, check the show notes. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on Matt Nair on Air. And look for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There is a video of this, not of the dolphin landing on them, but as they were transporting him. It's all fine. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Todd going to be joined by Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor from the Lincoln Project. They're going to break down the campaign speech that was given last night before a joint session of Congress. I was going to watch it myself, and then unfortunately I tripped and landed on some needles that ended up in my eyes, and I couldn't watch the whole
thing. You and your eyes and needles are a
problem. Gotta be careful.
I just fell asleep.
Oh, well, that's okay. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything, and you make my heart happy. I cannot thank you enough. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.